Welcome to Paradigm Shifters. We have a paradigm shifter who's going to illuminate for you how we are frequency beings and how do we work with that. And this fellow awakened to all of that information, or at least some of it, and his multidimensional intuitive nature through some near-death experiences, two of them, I believe. Welcome to the show, Mas Jahadi. Sajadi. I said it
Sajadi.
Fast.
Perfect. Yeah, that's okay. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure.
And I notice you're all over the world these days, so we're very fortunate to catch you and get you out on our podcast, too. Tell me about what you learned when you were in that near-death experience. What did you learn about? Just what did you learn about how we go
what
together people and how do we create our lives?
Right. The first near-death, because I was always searching, I was always searching to say, what is that, say, magical formula that's going to allow me to be who I am, live life the way it is, in total, complete abundance, not just like money or finance or health or relationships, but everything. Mm. That first near death is that I had my jaws crushed. The important thing is that as I split away, I didn't know that I had crossed over.
Right? Oh,
but
really?
I noticed my body floating away, or my consciousness floating away from my body. And then I realized it's just kind of like a mirror image, like you're going further and further away. I started to think, my body's over there, because I knew that my body's over there. But I'm over here. I'm going, wow. How can that be? So I've never experienced that. And then it dawned on me that I was dead. I had crossed over. And, it wasn't a space of fear or in regret or anything like that. It was just a space of beauty. But along with that, I started to realize that I noticed my body. I noticed that there was the culmination of my experiences in physical form in my body. Which expanded me to say the width of the universe, really, to note that, I wasn't the function of my, minuscule life here on Earth. I was a grander being. And that was quite beautiful. And now
tell me, just for background, you were already a seeker. Were you trying to learn about the meaning of life and so on as just before your near-death experience, huh?
Oh, yeah. This is at 22, that first near-death experience. I was a seeker. I as a teenager, I studied all the religions.
Okay, right? Good.
Is, I studied all the spiritual, not too much of the spirituality. Some I was getting into it. I studied all, say, the motivational books, success habits of people and so on like that. Mm-hmm. So I've tried everything, but that one key was missing, and that was that one key that I saw is like, we are bigger, grander than who we think we are.
Mm-hmm. So did you see, so let's jump into that. Mm-hmm. What you did see when you realized how huge you were, and then what did you say is that your body or your life, you kind of implied that your life is recorded in your body or something. Did
yes.
I get that right?
Yes, your life is recorded in your body. I call it spiritual DNA, and that's where you go back, and actually scientists have actually figured out that your that junk DNA that they talk about,
mm-hmm.
right? The junk part of the DNA, that actually is a recording device for you. And that's how I can tell. Mm-hmm. So now I've been gifted with, abilities to read that DNA and kind of go into your past and see what you were all about. Anyway.
So you're actually able to see what someone's purpose is and what's blocking it and what they're learning through. Are we learning through all this stuff that's in our recording?
Not necessarily learning through, but probably say stuck from what's happened in previous lifetimes, family lineage, and so on. It's really patterns that we get stuck in. So every lifetime that we have, we get more and more and more distorted. But, when I was at the first near-death experience, I ascended to you go through the tunnel. I ascended to the level where you review your life.
Okay.
And you actually relive your life, like, completely from the beginning.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's not like your life flashes in front of you. It's not a review. You live your life. So it's not like you go there and it's like you did this bad, you did this good, you did this bad, and then at the end you get a score. It's nothing like that, guys. Nothing.
But is there like an emotional report, meaning I often wonder about the great judgment we've been threatened with. I often think it's people are actually putting themselves in their own shoes and realizing and feeling what they have experienced and whether it was good, bad, or retarding or advancing or difficult for other people. Is it like that? Is the judgment us with ourselves?
Yeah, and maybe that's why I'm emphasizing this. I'm probably picking up your like meaning of how that works.
Okay.
No, there's no good. There's no bad. It's just a sense of beauty and grace. The worst possible, say, scenarios that you think that you did wrong.
Okay.
are a space of beauty and grace. There is no bad. Okay? There's no like I should have done this or I could have done this or you're reprimanded for doing this and that. Nothing like that at all.
Hmm.
It's all beauty and grace. So
that's pretty interesting.
And I've seen it not just in my lifetime, but I've seen it in other, say, individuals' lifetime and so on, as they say awaken completely, because it do help. The dead cross over, or people who are nearing death, they see their life in a space of beauty and grace once I connect them to, that true source that they are.
Well, tell me, how do you connect them? What is it? Is it all frequencies? What is it that we are? Yeah.
Okay. Well, basically, in a nutshell, we are, again, a history of who we think we are. Most of that history comes from a previous lifetime or family lineage that have distorted us. At one time, we were completely pure. Okay, lifetime after lifetime, it gets a little more and more distorted because we think that the life that we're going through is so real, we hold on to it, right? Especially that space of death. I could tell you tons of stories of where people have gotten stuck into, say, lifetimes, which I call time loops. I release them from that time loop. Their life just totally changes, like, overnight.
And how do you release them? This is very exciting for people, isn't it?
How do I release it?
One question before you're releasing is, do you feel like there's no need for any of that? It's just what happens? Do you think there's no actual impetus for us to experience these traumas or losses, lineages,
not really.
Or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and people think, this happened because I had to learn this, or this happened because I had to learn this.
Exactly.
But from what I see is like anything that happens to you is always supposed to be like an awakening experience.
Oh, right?
So everything that happens, good or bad, right? And that's why situations that we think deemed as good or negative or foul. Right. You might think that they're foul, but then that person, they go through that experience and it's the most expansive experience that they've had, which allows them to see themselves in their pure light that they are.
So not because they had to go through it. Is that right?
No, it's every experience that you've had, good or bad, is a point of opportunity for you to awaken to your true self.
So, and do we have themes? Do we have soul themes?
Do you have themes? Yes. Okay. I call them patterns or frequencies.
Okay.
And those come from, again, past lifetimes, mm-hmm. Family lineage. Just to give you an example, and this is kind of a gruesome example, but and this happened just recently, although it's happened before, it's happened again. So this woman, she's had an abortion, like 2-3 abortions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And she didn't tell me this right out. I just kind of tap in because that pain is still there.
Of course.
In her. So I kind of tap in, see, I go, you've had, I didn't call it abortions. I see you lost some kids. She goes, yeah, a couple of abortions. Anyway, her mom, she's lost children as well. She goes, yeah, she's had a couple abortions. Tapping into her, say, grandmother. I go, has your grandmother had a couple abortions? And they go, yes.
Hmm.
That pattern, right, that we think is ours, right? If you lay it out, if you see it from a different perspective, you'll see that it's a pattern, again, in this case, family dynamics, And I can, and again, I can tell you story after story of, say, previous lifetime patterns that have followed through into this lifetime, which distorts you greatly. Once you remove those patterns from previous lifetime, and that's what I do, is like I shake your spirit up to awaken it. It awakens and goes, wow, I'm not supposed to be in, say, a lack state of lack. You awaken, your spirit awakens, and then you start to become, say, complete. Being complete, you demand completeness, and that's where your abundance comes in any area of your life.
Well, did you have to go through a tremendous amount of clearing for yourself when you had these experiences?
Yes, I did. After my second near-death experience, and I'm glad you bring that up. After my second near-death experience, went through 3.5 years of dark times. Okay, and the reason being, it is a learning experience, yes, but it's not because of the experience. It's because you're separating yourself from being human. And it's very, very important to understand what that means. Most, well, almost all of us here think that we're humans wanting to have a spiritual experience, right? We're spiritual seekers or religious seekers and so on like that. Those 3 years of darkness is really about pulling yourself away again, a near death like I had the first time, pulling yourself away and starting to understand you're a spirit having a human experience, which really flips the table around. And that's why that darkness is there.
So
Jesus
is
said,
the
"Is it?"
darkness kind of a reflection of all of these patterns that you have accrued through the centuries? Is that it?
Yes, and
And
it's a reflection, and also a moving away of that.
so it is it includes a recognition, does it?
Yes.
Okay, and now refer you were referring to Jesus, which I think is interesting.
Jesus at his level went through the dark days or the dark nights, they call it. So, you get as you get higher and higher, you get more and more away from again a human experience. You get more into a spiritual experience in human form. So, and that's what happens to a lot of people that are worked on. They start getting detox effects. Okay, again, because we pull away from the experiences that we think we are. And then we see it from a different perspective, which allows us to let go of those experiences much easier, much faster
Well,
than
so is it
anything that
pulling
we
away
thought.
using your mind? Is it pulling away doing activities, or is it just like an instantaneous awakening?
It's pretty much an instantaneous awakening, but since we are time bound in this realm, it takes a little bit for some people, depending on how much you hold on to things. Some people, after I work on them, okay, transform in, say, a second or a few minutes. Some people take a little longer, you know, a few months to a year to transform because they hold on. So it's really up to, say, your spirit or your rule set.
Is your rule set prescribed by astrology, numerology, and all of those things?
Your rule set prescribed by astrology and numerology, probably the other way around. Because you have created this rule set, you are in a certain, say, astrological sign. Does that make
Okay.
sense?
Yeah, it does.
So,
Well, so let's go back to some examples. I really get excited when you talk about either your own process or mine. You can talk about mine, and you talk about family lineage, and I notice a
sure.
lot of people suffer and struggle with family lineage and believing they have to be
Yes.
this way or that, you know.
Yes. Yeah, some of the stories I guess I could share with you, just a general theme that I'm kind of seeing in your listeners, and perhaps even you. You know, there's a sense of, say, religion that comes through you. Okay. I don't know, does that make sense in you,
Yes, it
or is it?
does. Yes.
Okay. So that religion, although pure, and I'll give you know, from one spectrum to the other, is that at some point, okay, that religion was, say, pure, but then those individuals got higher, or they thought they were grander than other individuals, and that religion got darker and darker and darker, and now it's like handcuffs around you guys, and it distorts you. It puts you in, say, a cage or imprisonment where it binds you.
Bound by
And I'll
judgment a lot, hey?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine if you want to live that way, but it's not really accurate. It's not really true. Although many of you, including yourself, have like moved away and get a different understanding of religion, right? It still binds you because it's still in your frequency or in your patterns.
Yeah, now that's interesting because you think you're beyond something, but if it's
Yes.
recorded in you, so talk about
It's
that. I don't care
yeah.
if you use me, you can use me all you want on this
Sure.
style of thing, or yourself, or whoever's
Okay.
listening is.
Well, for you, again, those religions, again, you've had, say, a lot of intellectual thought and so on like that. And correct me if I'm wrong. Trying to move away, trying to make sense of it all, but still not quite there, still bound by the theories and so on. And many of your listeners are similar to that. There's a good group of your listeners really bound by the dark side of religion. Okay, where you're really, really controlled. And the dark side, I mean, like getting into satanic worship, control, and so on. I see religion kind of a spectrum, if you will. You get really, really, really extreme religious, it turns into, say, satanic worship. So that kind of pattern. In a small group, I would not even a small group, I would say 10, 20% of the listeners here. But anyway, so those are bound, those are still frequencies that resonate in you. Okay? And I can give you other examples to make it
I'm not
clear if you
very
want.
conscious of any satanic stuff, but I do know that I have
No,
worked
no, no, no,
very
no.
hard to step away from religion. Yeah.
Right. No, there's no satanic worship in you. I was kind of tapping into the group, your
Yes, I
listeners,
appreciate that.
your
Yeah, thank
audience
you.
as general. And by the way, as I say, speak, notice I'm working on you as well. So
Yeah.
helping you shift, disconnect. So just be aware of it. So you might feel a little distorted or disoriented.
My body loves it. It's buzzing.
So you like it because
I
it's
do.
the true form that you like, or the true form that you're, say, want to come into. Okay.
I call myself a frequency flyer, like an
There you go.
airplane.
That's so cute. I like that. But some of your listeners that are, say, connected to the dark side, they're not going to feel so good because it pulls them away from the dark side. So, anyway, overall, it's good for you. So, why does that happen? Why has it taken you, say, so long? Because you have been, say, the seeker. And the reason being is that most of us, or almost all of us, can't get to the levels or the underlying frequencies, or what I call your blueprint level, okay, that was originated at. Most of us are in the physical realm, and anything that we do as far as knowledge or other like other healers, modalities, frequencies, energy systems, those are all physical based. But we're trying to eradicate something at a spirit level, which is a much higher form. So I've crossed that bridge from the physical form or physical editing or removal into spiritual form. And once you do that, you'll see a lot of, say, massive change coming into you quite fast, quite effective.
So we can rise out of our physical, essentially. We can vibrate
Yes.
ourselves out of, change the energy, change the reality, right?
So those changes come from inside out. So there's nothing that you have to do, say, consciously, although there's you get drawn into whatever you need to do. To pull yourself out, but it is in essence from the inside out. Can I give you another, like more,
Yes.
a clear example?
Sure.
Addictions.
Okay.
Okay, and maybe I'm talking about addictions again. It might not be you, but it almost seems like there's somebody related to you that might be
Yes.
addicted to something. Okay, so maybe that's why I'm talking about this. So addictions, no matter what it is, okay, most of us try from the outside in, right, to say transform or change. So it takes massive amounts of willpower. Let's take AA, right, Alcoholics Anonymous. It's a fantastic, it's a, I'm not cutting it down, but it's a fantastic, it's helped a lot of people. But what happens is that, it takes massive willpower because they can't have another drink. They can't go into a bar because if they do, right, all those memories come back. They get, they, and then they get addicted again, right? Why does that happen? Because we're suppressing the frequencies that are, say, still exist in us. Right? What I do, and I did this on another interview, and there were so many callers that we were talking about addictions. And we'll take just a minute or two as I work on you guys to help that person that you know that's addicted, to help them out, to show you how it works. Anyway, the way I do it is I change the frequency so those addiction patterns don't run in you. So what happens is as you shift or as you go through the detox, you know, you complete the detox, some people just don't. It might only take a minute or two, and that's all it needs, and they're out of it. But what happens is, like, say they're alcoholic, they just don't need a drink anymore. Like, I don't drink. Mm-hmm. If I go into a bar, I have no desire to drink. That's the way they'll feel.
Mm-hmm.
There's no forcing themselves not to drink. They just won't drink. So,
but you're saying that comes from a very deep, like, exhumation,
yes,
of old frequencies that they were relying on as part of their personality, I guess.
Yes.
Or lineage.
Yes, yeah. The lineage, you know, because, you know, alcoholism or whatever sometimes runs in the family, or depression runs in the family. Those are all patterns, by the way, of how a control source outside of the family lineage controls that family or, you know, that person individually. Because it's easier to control you if you're weak. Right? So you get into addictive patterns where it keep you weak.
Whatever. And so we're weak if we assume that we're like that anyway, you know, I'm always
exactly
an addict or whatever. Right?
Yeah, exactly. That's where that happens. So again, just deleting those contracts that have, say, connected with you.
I like that word, deleting. You can do that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I have abilities actually to delete any contract that's been kind of written for anybody here so far.
So you can delete karma, if that's the right term, hey?
Sure.
That sort of religious, of course, that's a kind of a religious format right there, isn't it?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, you can delete all that. You know, and there's more and more examples that I could give, but once you delete that, you'll be amazed at how fast, say, you transform into your true self, you know.
So, and the true self might be totally unrelated to how your human self has been, is that right?
That is so very true. You know, people come to me and go, Moss, I want this or that. You know, once they awaken, they really don't want this or that. They just want to say be, because they enjoy themselves being there. The beauty of that is that since they're complete just being there, what they want or what comes into their life far surpasses anything that they could have imagined, because it's obviously much grander. You know, when we set goals, you know, of I want this, you're actually limiting yourself to what you know the possibilities are.
Right.
There's grander possibilities that you're not even aware of that could be yours. So that's why that happens.
So that's actually driven by karma, if you will, or lineage or all of that. Our goal setting, I realize, as you're talking.
Exactly. Karma, you know, what you think you're deserving of.
Social programming. Which part of society you belong to.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, all those things are... emotions. I was going to say emotions is all part of that as well. The emotions for most of us are miscalibrated.
Oh,
so
really?
That's why, you know, you see a lot of books, you see tons of programs saying, you know, follow your emotions, but look where is your emotions have gotten you. you know, you follow your heart, right? That's following your emotions, and you get into a relationship, and then soon enough, well, it's not the best relationship, or you get abused and so on. Those patterns are in people all the time.
About relationships, because that's a huge thing. So what I'm seeing right now as you're speaking is that relationships are in many ways a microcosm of our society. And there's a huge breaking up going on in the society as people reveal some of that to themselves. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Oh, true. Yeah. As the purity or the universal frequencies that are coming in, as I see them as waves, it is a pure, say, a cleansing space. So what that means is it magnifies everything. So that's why, you know, what you said rings true to me, is that you start to look deeper in yourself and you start to see the truth come out.
And then you're saying we can move it then, or you can help us move it, right?
Oh, yeah, I can. I mean, I just do it faster for you, but there's lots of other ways that, you know, you can move it. But again, I'm kind of that spiritual geek that kind of knows what's going on, you know, and just shifts it for you faster. That's all.
I love that.
Yeah. But emotions, again, kind of tapping into, you know, your group. And let me give you an extreme just so it's more clear. Say those women that get attracted to men who abuse them over and over again. And there was a study done, an actual study. So there was like 100 men, and there was one man that was like an abuser type, out of these 100 men. And this woman, well, she's been abused before. Of all the men, you know, that she was introduced to, she was naturally attracted to that one that would abuse her. Why does that happen? Right? Her heart led her to that one man. See, again, that's why I say your emotions are miscalibrated. Okay? They're dictated by the frequencies or the underlying patterns or currents that run in you to get you into the realities that, well, that you're resonating at. So, you know, you move those frequencies out or you delete them, you resonate with a new frequency, and that's what I do for a lot of people. And they start attracting a different type of man.
I think that would be wonderful, because for a lot of us on, I'll call it the path, there's been a lot of challenge in the nature of relationship. And I was listening to your podcast on relationship with a woman named Crystal. It was very, very enticing in terms of empowering people. Can you talk a little more about that and use examples? It's very interesting.
The relationship, by the way, the podcasts are really phenomenal. Exponential Intelligence, I mean, it's good stuff. And then at the end, we do a meta healing to instill those frequencies that are in you or that we talked about, so you start living from those frequencies.
So doing the meditation at the end of the relationship one will help some of us gain more, what would you say?
More clarity.
And exponentially, right?
And exponentially, yes. It'll remove you from, say, the patterns of having or getting connected to distorted relationships, and also bring in, say, better, more organic relationships. But then it'll also say, it'll also calibrate your emotions so you can trust your emotions for the good this time.
I think that would be really helpful. I think it's so mesmerizing to be taken over by our emotions. We don't know how to calibrate it. We just sort of fall into the pool.
Exactly.
Right.
Yep. Yeah, so this work really helps you, you know, kind of stand back and go, God, is this accurate? Is my emotions or is my heart telling me the accurate thing? And again, for the people I've worked on, they start seeing how their emotions are lying to them, and they start to create new emotions or what I call new programs to guide them into, say, a different direction.
So we can design them, can we?
Of course, of course. Yeah, I don't, it's not like I design them for you. I kind of leave that space open, you know, where you're safe and secure, where, you know, the trueness of your, well, trueness of your spirit comes through, your true nature comes through, and then that's how you design your life from the inside out.
Well, so talk a little bit about the relationship between emotions and illness, and can you have a huge impact on that as well?
Oh, definitely. You know, there's the whole gamut, but just kind of tapping in, a good number of you, again, I can pick out, say, subgroups of people that
That's
listen
great.
To you.
That would be wonderful.
You know, a lot of you have gone into, say, illness or emotional illness, where you use it as an excuse because your life hasn't turned out the way it has. or the way you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
So you use it as an excuse not to go forward, or as an excuse because you've been ill, you know, you haven't, say, ascended to the level that you've wanted to go. So either way, so emotions is that way. And then, you know, the deeper emotions or the deeper illnesses like cancers and so on like that, those are, if you want to call them emotions or patterns that have been, say, suppressed in us from what I see.
Mm-hmm.
And then it permeates through. And then it causes distortions in our physical form, what turns into cancers or whatever. And even that, you know, you delete those underlying frequencies. And I'm not saying I cure cancer, but there's been dozens and dozens of people, you know, even at stage four, stage five, their cancers disappear.
They call that spontaneous remission or something, don't they?
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Well, that's really interesting. And what about mental health?
Mental health is really, you know, it's such a sad subject because, you know, we get depressed. I'll tell you how it happened. You know, we get depressed. We go to the doctor. Most of the times they prescribe you some medication, right?
Right.
Prozac or whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. The sad thing is the way I see, say, mental distortion is that you at some level, you're disconnected from your physical form.
And right? Maybe want to be, would you say?
And maybe want to. I don't think nobody really wants to be, but they've used it as a tool to save themselves.
Right.
And that's why they're disconnected. So they think they want to be, but, you know, if you awaken, I've never seen anybody that wants to be in the position that they're at once they're awakened.
Okay.
So anyway, they're separated, right? And that's why they're depressed. They're just a little, that's why they're distorted. So they get prescribed medication. Sad thing is that medication allows you to separate even more.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we get addicted to those type of medications. Kind of like drugs, you know, the hallucinogens, so on like that. You know, they take you into that space. You get disconnected from your body.
Right.
Same thing. Why you're depressed. You're always, say, disconnected from your body, and that's why you're depressed. If you come into your body, you know, I can help you do that. You'll actually see the joy and beauty no matter what your surroundings are. Because most of us think it's because of our jobs we're depressed, because of our relationships we're depressed. Not really true. It's because of the disconnect that we have between ourselves. And then the jobs, the relationships and all that look a little distorted for us. And we don't have the strength to pull away from
it. Well, I want to ask you again what awakening really means, because that's, you're talking about awakening as waking up out of that victimized position, right? Or that...
Yes. right. Awakening is like kind of standing back again the way I did from my first near-death experience.
Okay.
And seeing that those patterns that run in me, again, from previous lifetimes or family lineage, are not me. So you awaken, you know, your spirit is in complete abundance all the time. It's never short. It's never lacking. So awakening in this definition means that you start to see yourself for the grander person that you are. Your spirit comes into you, and because it is so grand, because it is so complete, it senses the lack in you, right? And it produces, again, complete frequencies, deleting those old frequencies which pull in, say, abundant frequencies. That's how anything that you want works, by the way. I don't know if that was clear, but if you're resonating, say, frequencies of lack, you're going to get lack in your experiences. You're going to attract people that will, like, give you emotions of lack and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Again, as your spirit awakens, completeness comes in. You start resonating differently. You start attracting the life, whatever it might be for you, to be in complete abundance.
Well, we don't really all want to have near-death experiences because it has a precarious aspect to its nature. So for awakening, no. To me anyway, I feel like awakening is a part of the evolution of our species, because it's happening more and more and more all over, isn't it?
It is. It is. In the, yeah, and that's that pattern, the trueness, the universal patterns that's washing through that we talked about. Yep, that's an awakening pattern. It's forcing everybody to awaken, to, say, get introspective, really kind of look at our lives differently and throw away what works and doesn't work.
So that's where the dark, when you talked about your own, you went through a couple of years of dark times, that's throwing away, that's the process of exhuming, right?
That's the process of exhuming. Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. People go through that all the time. Because you have to let go of the things that are the baggage that you've collected throughout, you know, your lifetimes or family lineage, right? Mm-hmm. To be who you truly are. Kind of reminds me of something. I really don't add or instill anything to you. I actually just remove the baggage that's around you and polish you up. And then you see the grandness, the beauty that you are. And then that's where your life becomes really good.
What a wonderful job you have.
It is. It's so honorable. It's so meaningful. You know, we get so many emails going, you know, thank you, this happened, and so on. Their life really, really transformed. So it's quite beautiful. Yes.
I love that. What about children? Can you help a little guy who was just born or maybe a year old or something? Can you help somebody like that clear that up while he's young?
They're actually better.
Oh, really? Okay.
The younger, the better, because they're not distorted by time. You know, they're not distorted by, you know, memories or anything like that. Oh, yeah, they shift. Children are animals. You know, they're connected to pure source or their higher spirit much easier, right? So they're easier to shift because they're familiar with the patterns that I generate for them to help them shift. So, yeah, they shift quite dramatically.
Well, when you went out of your body in that near-death experience and you talked about how huge your spirit was, and I assume we all have that, right?
Yes, definitely.
Can you tell us a little bit about what that's like? Like, what is our spirit like? Is it belong to many, many universes? We can travel anywhere. We can see the perspective. What?
Oh, yeah. You can travel to any... the second near-death experience kind of allowed me to do that because I was in that space, like, much longer, it seemed like. Mm-hmm. I traveled through the tunnel of light, opened up into that beautiful blue space, and in that realm I realized that I can be anything that I wanted to, I can do anything that I wanted to. I was everything that was possible. And then I faded away even to that realm because there was still that consciousness, you know. And then what happened was, well, I expanded into, say, a complete universe of my own. So we are, say, really vast universes, each individual is really a vast universe.
I love that. It's a little hard to figure out, isn't it?
It is hard to figure out, but it's beyond time. It's beyond space. And that's why it's so vast. It's timeless. And it's the grandest, the most beautiful love and joy that you could ever feel at that level. It would blow your circuits to feel that much joy and love at this level. In physical form, you just can't do it. We don't have the capacity to do it.
That's very intriguing.
Yeah.
So let's go back to your work. You're traveling all over and you're doing appointments with people. Can you tell us some more like individual stories about helping people awaken or helping them pop out? Or do they pop out? Is that it?
Yes, they actually do awaken. And it's quite simple. Sometimes, well, I'll give you a couple stories.
Please.
This one individual, this one lady, she came into an event at the Presidio in San Francisco. Okay, she walked in with her walker. She took her about 20 minutes to get to her chair, and it wasn't that much of a distance. Anyway, during the, I was just explaining some of the things, and she raised her hand, and she goes, really mad, and she goes, well, what can you do that I haven't done? You know, I've been like this for 20 years, I've been trying to get out of it, and so on and so on. And I talked to her. I didn't touch her or anything like that. I was just explaining, you know, the details that I saw in her. And then, about 5 minutes later, I asked her how she felt. And she goes, well, this is the first time I've actually felt no pain.
Oh, my.
It's that fast. It was a 2-hour event. Towards that end of the 2 hours, she raised her hand. She actually stood up and she goes, oh, my God, this is the first time I could actually stand up without any help.
Wow.
She walked out without holding on to her walker, just like holding on to it. The next day, she followed me to Palo Alto. And she was there with a cane. The day after, she followed me some other city in California, and she was just actually walking, almost dancing.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's in a room full of people.
That's in a room full of people. I didn't have any say. Well, that last day, she had a private session with me, which lasted like maybe 20 minutes. So about 2 months later, she actually, we're doing a Sedona event coming up next week. She actually hiked up to the Shaman's Cave.
Oh,
that we do.
My.
And she hasn't, from a car accident, she hasn't been able to walk in severe pain for 25 years.
Oh, my goodness.
And that's not an extreme example. That happens a lot.
Well, would you say it helps people to get out of the time-space realm?
Yes.
And that's how you can recreate yourself?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. There's a lot of stories out there where, this is a family lineage type that I'm seeing. And that's why, again, as I say, relay these stories, I'm just working on those individuals who have similar tendencies. Okay. This other example is for people who, their loved ones, their mother or father, as they cross over, okay, they blend into them. And this goes back to religion again, especially the Catholic religion. What happens is that, well, you're born in sin in that religion. You live in sin. Many individuals think that they're not good enough to cross over and meet their maker. They're really fearful. So
that judgment that we were told about.
Yep, exactly. So what happens is that they don't cross over. They start blending in to the loved one that's taking care of them, or the loved one that's, a little more sensitive. And then that person, they cross over, they live in that person, or their frequencies or patterns live in that person, and then they start having the same issues as, their father or mother that crossed over.
You mean they just take on the frequency that's coming from the parent? It's funny,
yes.
We have a lot of noise in the background because the garbage truck is coming by, and I'm going, well, that's kind of a good metaphor, isn't it?
yes, I'm your friendly garbage man that takes out all the spiritual garbage that we've accumulated.
But you are actually that. I mean,
I am.
You're teaching us that. I think it's brilliant. I feel like you're teaching us that we're a frequency, kind of a package, and we've got all these old programs, but they aren't at all who we are, and we can do something about that, right?
Oh, yes, definitely. And most of the other, say, things that you've tried, and I know many of your listeners have tried a lot of things, but then we keep being stuck in the same pattern, whether it's relationships or spiritual or whatever, or physical even. Again, the reason being is most of the things are at a physical level, so we've created a workaround, okay, or we've suppressed those emotions, especially emotions of anger and torment or abuse. We've suppressed them and we've hidden them somewhere in our body. What I do is totally delete those patterns or frequencies. So,
well, I want to say this other thing is many, many people, because I've been a long-term metaphysician as well, and many people will say when it gets to the body, to the physical, it's very, very difficult. And I'm listening to you to change it. And I'm going, so say the woman who couldn't walk, or people's legs that are hurt or something,
Sure.
And they'll say, well, it's fine in my heart and everything, but my physical can't be changed very easily. And you're saying that is not true. Am I right?
That is not true. Sure, there's a lot of people who've had, say, backache. In fact, I was on a TV show in San Diego, the anchor. The host that worked, before the show, I said, there's something going on with your neck. He goes, I've had that neck pain for I don't know how long. I worked on him for just maybe a minute or two, and just total complete release on that. So
Well, that's
it
just
shifts that
so
fast.
exciting. I want to do a million things, ask you a million questions, but we don't
Sure, go
have
ahead.
that long because we're in the time space thing.
Yes.
Can you stretch time? Let me tease you a little bit. Hey, can we make I was wondering if you could do some kind of a meditation exercise that can be at the
Sure.
end of this podcast as well.
Yeah, we can. We can. Do you want to do it now? We
Yeah, we've
can.
got, let me see, we have a good 5, 7 minutes left.
Yeah. So let's take about maybe 3, 4 minutes. Okay.
That would be wonderful. I want people to know how to find you after, so leave a minute for that.
Yeah. Sounds good. So again, whether you're sitting, standing, lying down, wherever you are, let's just go ahead and take a nice deep breath in. And if you've meditated before, or try to meditate and wasn't successful, I can usually get you into much, much deeper states. So, noticing your breath again, inhaling through the nose, things start to slow down for you. All right, perhaps noticing your breath slowing down, noticing yourself coming into your body, being aware of your hands, your fingers, your fingertips. Breath in again. Wondering how many people are on the call. Large group. That group, there's always strength in numbers. Allows us to go further faster. Allows us to break free from blocks that we might have experienced. Let's go ahead and take another deep breath in as I guide you into a deeper state. On the exhale, asking ourselves, how do I connect to pure source even stronger? Again, if you do nothing else with me, if you just repeat this over and over, how do I connect to pure source even stronger? You'll see massive transformations in your life. But for now, on the exhale, just noticing your belly area. The groin area. For a lot of you, a lot of issues there. So just work on that for a little bit. All you have to do is just note that part. As I work on the back end, your spirit level, to help you release. Whether it's physical issues, whether it's spiritual issues causing physical issues, whatever it might be. Just noting how you're feeling. Might as well just move up on, yeah, move on up. Take another deep breath in. The exhale will help you adjust your spine. So, if your spine has issues, usually some of it might be digestive issues or sexual issues related to the spine. So, just work on the spine and just note other issues that you might have, might be worked on as well, but we'll help you adjust your spine. Even if you had, say, trouble with it years and years. Start from your hips again. Breath in as we ascend on up the mid back. Top of the back, so from the shoulders on down. As I work on you, all I have to do is note your spine, note what you might be feeling. As a reminder, to continue to work on you. I'm not the source that heals you or cures you in any way. I'm that connection point, same way I had that near-death experience. I connected to source, pure source. I bring that connection to you without that near-death experience. Right? That's how you heal. That's how you transform. Breathing in again, going up to the top of the spine, your neck area. Beautiful breath in. You can stay in the space for as long as you'd like. There you go.
Wonderful.
Just noticing
space.
Your body, yeah, opening your eyes, coming back. How are you feeling, hon?
Oh, my goodness. I feel wonderful.
For you, there's a lot of knowledge or awareness that's going to be coming into you.
So wonderful. We like
downloading
that.
All that knowledge, yeah.
Thank you. So before we run out of time, can you tell people how to find you?
Of course, I'm everywhere in the world. if you go to
in
my
the
website.
Universes, excuse me.
Yeah. If you go to my website, masajady.com, that's masajady.com. A lot of good information, a lot of free content, actually, a lot of free meditations, meta healings, as I call them, on there. A lot of events, okay, online events, and then physical events. You know, I'll be in Sedona, I'll be in New York, I'll be, somewhere else as well.
You're headed to Ireland at some point. Vancouver, that's my hometown, actually.
Oh. Are you? Yeah. I'll be there end of March.
Great.
So, yeah. Yeah, and I'll be in the London, UK area, Ireland. We're doing a cruise. We'll be in Brazil later, Hawaii, a lot of different places that we'll be in. But if you can't make it to any of those, again, we're always online. One of the best ways is the 21-day meta healings that we do, where you meditate with me for 21 days, twice a day.
Mm-hmm.
Massive transformations just in that package. Obviously, the podcast, Exponential Intelligence, it's free. At the end, there's a meta healing to help you instill. So there's a lot of different ways.
I love the expression, exponential intelligence. That's wonderful.
It is, because once you understand it, you grow exponentially. It's quite amazing.
That's great. Well, Mas Sajati, I have loved this time with you and feel privileged, and I know our podcast will be so well received.
Yes.
Everyone. So I hope to see you soon at one of these wonderful venues.
Oh, yes. Thank you so much for having me.
It was delightful.
Thanks for taking your time.
All right. Thank you so much.
Take care.
You bet. You too. And this is Veronica Entwistle saying thank you so much for listening. Many blessings, everyone. I hope you gain yourself. That's what it's all about. Much love.